Chopper, how you doing?
Good. Just for the record, Team Britain. Just for the record.
No, that's what. Now, did Stretty always try to get you to play ABBA on those car rides to the airport?
Well, Stretty's pretty eclectic. Well, it comes to everything, but music, yeah, he's all over the place. But yeah, he's put about like I don't know, like an 18-year-old girl. They could probably have the same playlist, I would imagine.
If she has good taste in music.
That's so corny. It was funny. I like that.
So, Ethan, you know, you obviously you played a long time in the NHL, Chicago, but you know, the heart of your career for a decade was in Edmonton. So, I know you're you know, you're a proud former Oiler. What'd you make of this series?
Well, I'm more than proud. It's almost that it gets into the like protective category. Like you said, and you spend so much time in one place, you want to see them do well, and you take some things personal. And obviously, I don't go on social media or message boards and all that stuff, but I know what's being said. And I'm just like I texted you earlier. And I'm glad I. That's why I don't have Twitter, because I get really mad and say stupid things. So I'm glad I'll calm down a little bit. But yeah, I just like everybody else, just really frustrated, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the sense is of the fan base or the casual fan or the diehard fan. I'm a little bit removed, but we're into about what year six or seven with the two best players in the world. We're a little bit behind. Like Kane, you look at Kane and Taves and Crosby and Malkin, and the best players are getting younger and younger. So I think not having any success and not really being close has been really frustrating for me to watch as a fan.
Chopper, you know, you look at their development, and not just their, but as a team, like, it feels like they took a step forward this year as far as defending. And you know, they did a really good job of just, like, protecting leads. They've got up and protected. Like, is that a kind of an evolution, even though maybe it hasn't happened quite as compressed as you would, you suggested?
They just got swept 4-0 in the playoffs, so no, didn't work very well.
What did you see? Like, it's funny because obviously Hellebuck played great, but you know, Ethan, you were a guy who was kind of like a blood, sweat, and tears type of player, right? You know, you had your role, you played your role well. Does Edmonton, like, do they have the top guys? So, what do you feel they need to accentuate their top players?
Again, I'm not sure, and I'm not close enough to know the locker room. But to not win a game, to have one playoff victory in the last, I don't know how many years, it's just not acceptable. So whatever it is, and I don't have the answers, and usually people just criticize, don't have the answers. But I don't know what it is. I can't tell you. I'm not in the locker room. I know their personnel, the league's changed. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you got to play hard, you got to have more grit, but I don't know if that's the answer. I don't want to start getting into individual positions, but, yeah, it just seems like every year we'll take this positive out of it, we'll take this positive out of it. But before you know it, these guys have been in the league, meaning, you know, Dreisaitl and Connor, and now it's their year 8 or year 9, and we're still talking about the same shit. So, excuse me. So, if we got to capitalize on, or they have to capitalize on this, and it's just extremely frustrating that we're not even close.
You know, Chopper, you go back to your guys' run, joined by Ethan Morrow, longtime captain of the Edmonton Oilers. Go back to, you know, when you guys had that great run and you pushed it. Like, was there a sense the previous summer that you guys, you know, did you guys were close, and then all of a sudden Pronger comes and these guys, like, was there a feeling of a build there, or was it just kind of a, just all of a sudden, boom, we're going?
That's a great question, because we were really active that summer, meaning like Gator and Stevie Stales and Ryan Smith, and we were actively trying to get help, because it was hard to get people to come to Edmonton, and we're like, you know, it's really hard to make trades. We've drafted horribly. So we got to get guys here. So we started hitting the phones and just saying, hey, it's not a bad place to be. We got a great bunch of guys. We have fun. Like, you know, I mean, if you're not winning, it doesn't matter where you are. But, you know, Stuyhausen and Kevin Lowe made some terrific moves, obviously, at the time with Samsonov and Pekka. But in order to do that, you have to have a really good team to start doing that. Obviously, Prongs was a huge, the biggest factor, and then Rollison. But to answer your question, Strides, yeah, we always thought we had a good core. And you know what that core was, and none of us were great players, but we had a really good core, and we believed in each other. And that's why we might sneak out a win or two against Dallas or Detroit when they, you know what I mean? So that's what bugs me, when you just, you can't squeak out a win in a playoff series. But, we kind of felt that would be a good year.
Ethan Morrow joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. And, you know, Ethan, the playoffs can be ruthless at times. Like, you saw Tampa Bay 2 years ago get swept after having 128 points. You know, you guys knocked off Detroit when they had close to 130. How much, when you watch it, do you ever have empathy for teams? Because some teams play well and they don't win, right? And, you know, how do you, as a former player, take it when you watch the playoffs? Because, like, I don't know, you watched the Pittsburgh game last night. Their goalie just gifts it to the Islanders, and all of a sudden now they're down 3-2.
Yeah. Well, it's best of seven. The only time I've ever felt like that, to be honest with you, was Tampa, which these things that happen once every 100 years, like, that's an anomaly. Just, I think you just throw that out. Like, there's no way to really describe what happened there. Like they were such a good team, and so was Columbus, but usually the best teams get through. I mean, it really does happen that way, and usually the best team or the best team at that moment wins. So I don't think there's as many Cinderella stories or upsets that you would think, right? Like the best teams usually win, and there aren't many exceptions.
Joined by Ethan Morrow, a longtime Edmonton Oilers and their captain for many years. You know, Ethan, you look around and you talk about this fact that the good teams seem to get through. But, you know, when I look back on my career, especially the teams I'd played against, like, let's say Carolina, you know, the year you guys. I remember we played them earlier in the year. I wasn't really thinking much. By the end of the year, I couldn't believe they were a machine. It didn't matter. Like, they could have, like, been all the same player, and they just played the same way every time. And, you know, I don't know that every team is built like that, but when you have a machine like that, did you ever feel like that when you played against a team that won a cup? Like, they were just, it was shift after shift. Everyone's coming over, and there's relentless pressure, at least maybe for a little different for a Demon than a Ford, though, I guess.
Well, that defense, the corpse they have, like, when you beat us in the Stanley Cup finals, I mean, can you name all their D? Well, you probably can, but you know, some of those, like, what was it, Wesley, Walling, Pettiken, like Ward, like, really? Like, you know what I mean? But they were playing so well. And like you said, they were, from the start of the year to the end of the year, they were so polished. Their special teams, they knew exactly what they were doing. You could tell they were extremely well coached. And, you know, we thought we'd just beat them with talent and bravado and, you know, like, speed and toughness, right? And we almost did. But, yeah, I totally agree. That team was just dialed in, which is pretty cool. I mean, those other teams like Colorado, Dallas, and Detroit that dominated, they're dialed in too, but with our Hall of Fame talent, right? So, and I think going back to Carolina is that they played their best game in Game 7, and we hadn't really seen that yet, so that surprised us.
Ethan Morrow joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Ethan, for you, like, you are like just a hard worker. People, you know, when they think Ethan Morrow, the Oilers, you know, they think of a guy, you know, 15, 20 goals, score, killing penalties, blocking shots, you know, checking roll. And you were a first-round pick, 14th overall, and I know you've talked about you had to adjust and understand, hey, you know what, I'm going to have to be a different player in the NHL. But how did you collectively get so many guys to buy in to play outside their comfort zone? Because there was times you fought guys you probably shouldn't be fighting because you felt like it was the right thing to do. How do you build that cohesiveness where guys are willing to go outside their comfort zone?
Well, like you just said, like, the reason why I did that is, you know, I was watching guys like Kelly Buchberger and Chris Chelios and Brent Sutter and Bob Prova, and knowing like that's how I learned the game, right? So I'm trying to like be those guys, because I didn't really have any great coaching in junior. I was a good player, but almost just by accident. So I just tried to follow those guys, and then, you know, I met like personalities like Strutty, even though he wasn't on that team, but like guys like Stevie Stales and Jason Smith, Ryan Smith, Todd Marchant, Mike Greer, like we really, really, really acknowledged and we rewarded things like that. Like Mac T would show the video and show a guy blocking a shot or, you know, getting a couple hits. So for us, it was more, you can't always score, right? So we were really, know what the word for it. We were really incentivized by doing those little things, and then when Stoli and Greeny and Rafi came in, that leadership that they had to play that way was already ingrained, and it was there for a long time, right? And obviously, we didn't have like tons of success winning Stanley Cups, but we were always a very competitive team. Even against the best teams, like, you know, we could at least win a couple of games in a series, which really bugged me. And I know it can happen, but it shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen to the Oilers this year.
You can't go anywhere in this city without someone telling a great story about how Fernando Pizzanti is such a great guy. In all the years he played with him, did you ever hear him say anything funny?
Well, the thing about Fernando is, so when he came, where did he come from? Providence?
Yeah, I think Colorado. Yeah,
so he had no personality, but hockey players, what they do is they just steal parts of other people's personalities. So he'd steal, like, one of my jokes and one of Marty's, you know what I mean? So eventually it became pretty funny because he just became accumulation of all of us, right? But if you strip him, down, it's funny. Yeah.
Oh, the jokes are in the room. They never get old, for sure. The chirps on guys. And Ethan Morrow joins now. Ethan, before I let you go, I know there's a book that came out, and I read it. It's about Karen Clack. It's about her daughter who passed away from brain cancer. You know, you were mentioned in the book with Horkoff and George Larac and a few others, and just kind of how you helped this lady out. It's an unreal book that people should get. Just tell me kind of, you know, maybe your connection to Karen Clack and her family and in that book.
Well, a lot of people, well, the cool thing is actually my mom didn't even know some of the closeness and some of the things I did for the family, but above all else, it's just a really good book. I mean, the way the mother is an incredible person, KarenClack.com. Mom, she went out and got her own book deal. Just read it. It's called Only Happy Faces. It's a great, she loves Edmonton. She talks about Edmonton. It's just in glowing terms, you know, the River Valley, and she's a true Edmontonian. They're not really huge hockey fans. They're just, she's just a real special, I'm talking with a mom right now. She's a real special person, and her style of writing is, and it's really touching, and for the parts of the book that I was in, it brought back a lot of memories, and for us, and, you know, a great sense of pride that we were able to help them. Obviously, you know, that's what I tell people, there's no really happy ending or happy endings when when you take on this role that I did at the Children's Hospital with, you know, girls like with Haley who had brain cancer and she was going to die. I knew she was going to die. And then, you know, I had to go to her funeral on a game day. But the last 3 months, you know, we became really good friends. So I know Jason, you're very conscious of the community as well as Strutty, but it's just a really good book. I just encourage everybody to read it. Only Happy Places. Only Happy Faces, sir.
Yeah, it's Haley was young. She was only 11 years of age when, unfortunately, she passed away. But I do recommend people want to read the book. It's really uplifting book, and I just want to slide that in, Chop. It's always good to catch up with you. I love you. Spitting the fire. How's everything else going? Are you still coaching? Are you hanging around, or are you just retired? What are you doing in Niagara?
I coached my son for a couple years. We were opening up a training facility in 2019, so that's going really well. Be a little facetious so hopefully we'll be able to pay the rent and open the doors pretty soon.
I can imagine. Well, do you have any Strutty's got his own, maybe you can bring Struds in as a special guest on you know, how to get it off the boards and out.
Arms and chest, 100%, 100%, 100%,
I'd bring him 100%, 100%.
Chop, how to wear tight jeans, too.
Yeah. Well, Chop, I got to give it to you, bud. I like when you used to rush the puck up the ice and then you come in on your off wing and you had to shoot it far side shelf. I don't think you had another. That's the only way you wanted to score goals. And I remember just skating as hard as I could. Like, I'm not a fast skater. I would, like, beeline from my corner all the way to that far blue line to stop it in case you miss it. I know you hit it 50% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, but the other 50, I had to catch it.
I don't know if it was 50, but it's probably more like 15%. but if you look at the video and you see Big 4-3 just sprint to the glass and pretty much put his catcher's mitt on, you know it's going high and wide. But I had a pretty unique offensive game. But thanks for noticing that, because that was definitely my. That was definitely my plan. I thought 1 year it was going to pay off.
Get it dialed in.
Yeah.
Well, it's great talking to you, buddy. Good luck with everything.
All right, guys. Great to talk to you. And I really appreciate you guys plugging the book. And we'll talk soon.